If you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I hope that you do, I want you to turn to a passage of Scripture, and if you would be so kind and desire to take out that outline that's in your bulletin there, I want to talk to you this morning about a message that I've entitled Receiving God's Blessings, Receiving God's Blessings. You know, it's kind of interesting. One of the, you may have noticed this on television, but one of the advertisements for credit cards is Capital One. And if any of you have been watching television for the last few days, weeks, that we're here in Thanksgiving and Black Friday? Is that what it's called, Black Friday? Black Saturday, Black Sunday. I mean, it's going to keep going on until Christmas and until they get their bill on January the 2nd or 3rd. But one of them was Capital One. I really love Capital One, the credit card. And there's this Santa Claus comes down. He's some famous guy, but I don't know who he is. I don't think he's John Travolta. But he's coming down the street, and he stops in his uniform, in his Santa Claus uniform, and he gets a donut from this lady. And the lady says, "Where have you been?" He said, "I've been to the North Pole." And then he walks down a little bit further, and they're putting up a Christmas tree there in the street, and he takes out some of this pixie dust or whatever, and he just throws it in the air, and boom, shazam, this tree is just all full of lights and glittering. And then he just sashays on down, and he goes into a disco, and he's out there, Santa Claus, just really, he does look like John Travolta in the way he's dancing there in the disco. And then he turns, and he says, "What's in your wallet?" Well, that got me to thinking, what's in my wallet? So I took a look. Well, I got two very important cards. One is my Visa card, and the other is a gift card that I've been given to God's restaurant, the one with the golden arches that he put up, McDonald's. So with these two cards, you know, I got it made. I am blessed. But you know what's interesting? I've been reading that 39.2% of shoppers purchase debit cards from shops or gift cards to give to people, to their friends and their family. And it's followed by 33.4% of shoppers that receive cards to restaurants. But according to the estimates reported in the Journal of State Taxation, the typical American home averages $300 of unused or unredeemed gift cards or credit cards. That's amazing. $300 unused, unredeemed gift cards. And these cards, they're often misplaced. You know, they're perhaps lost. They're accidentally thrown out. Anybody ever do that? But the point is, they're only partially redeemed. And between 2011 and 2020, $41 billion in gift cards went unused. $41 billion of gift cards went unused. Well, I bring that up because that's the same way of the spiritual gifts that God pours down upon Christians. I mean, the Bible says that we've got these things. We've got salvation. We've got gifts. We've got spiritual gifts. We've got talents that are available to us. We've got the Bible that he's given to us. But the common thing with Capital One and the others is they're rarely used. Now, be honest with yourselves. How often do you use the Word of God? How often do you go here for these blessings that are in here during times of praise, times of trouble, times of whatever? If you don't have your Bible and you're not using your Bible, then that says to me is you're not fully armed. Because the Bible says you got to have your armor on, because we're in a day of spiritual, and not only spiritual, but spiritual warfare, but a lot of anger, a lot of hatred, a lot of warfare that's going on, physically and otherwise. And so we need to cash in on this. We need to redeem by using the Word of God, by using prayer, by using those things that are in us. And I want us to read this text beginning in Ephesians chapter 1. And I want to look at beginning in verse 3. This is the consequences that Paul is writing about. He's writing about this from prison. He's probably about 55 years old. And we can see in his text the opposite side of the coin that he's talking about. He's talking about these blessings that we have, and he mentions it over and over again. But then the other side of that coin is the consequences. If we're not taking advantage of the blessings that our Father, our God, our Savior, our Lord, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit wants to rain down upon us. So let's read beginning, if you will, along with me in Ephesians chapter 1, and I want to pick it up in verse 3. And Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with what? With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he has chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved," meaning Jesus. "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed." Your version may have stamped. When we received Christ, when these people that were baptized, when they received Christ, when you and I were baptized, we were stamped. It's kind of like the king would put that stamp on an important document. We have been stamped, if you will. Verse 13 again, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who as the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possessions of it, to the praise of his glory." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father God, open your living, active word right to where each of us needs it today, Lord. No matter where we are, on top of the mountain, in the valley, somewhere in between, coming out of a battle, going into a battle, in the midst of a battle, Lord. We're a nation, we're a world that is at war. And yet you are our creator. So speak to us today, God, right where we need to be spoken to. And we praise you in advance for what you will do in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this passage, it's interesting because, as I mentioned, it revolves all around God's blessings. About all these blessings, these spiritual gifts, the blessings of God's promise to his children, you and me who are saved, his children. And this is not you see in here he's talking about predestination and called by God and those things. This is not a message about predestination, that some are predestined for salvation and some are not. It's about blessings, about the things that God wants to pour down upon his children. And he pours them down by faith in Jesus Christ. When we have faith in Christ, Paul says, then we will receive these blessings. Why? Because we're an heir. We're literally an heir of God, of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Creator and the one that we have been singing and praying to this morning. We're his heir. Listen, it's yours. Paul's saying it's yours. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer, right now, it's yours. Righteousness and resources and privilege and position and prosperity. And yes, even healing, those things that we need, peace. How many need peace today? We're the recipients of a permanent home. We don't need to know when we're going to die or where we're going to go after we die, as many, many people do. We're going to be in our permanent home in heaven that Jesus Christ told the disciples, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come back and do what? Take you to be with me where I am. We have power. We have Almighty God that's living in us. The Bible says we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That means we have the power of God. And you know what? Best of all, out of all these blessings that Paul talks about, is that God says, I will be your God. The Lord says, I will be your Lord. I will be your shepherd. I will lead you through the darkest of valleys. I will lead you around those mountains. I'll lead you to green grass. I'll lead you to fresh water. This is the blessings that we have from God Almighty because we're children. And Paul is not talking about something that's going to happen when we die. Listen to me. He's talking about right now. This is ours. This is ours. Just like some of you probably have something in your wallet that you've forgotten about. Or maybe there's a gift that somebody gave you, a gift card, a credit card, something, I don't know. But you just laid it aside. You're going to use it later. And maybe when you look for it, you can't find it. Or maybe, as I said, maybe you just threw this out. This is the word of God. We cannot lose this. This has got to be entrusted. We have to take it to the bank of our heart. We have to invest this into the investment that is going to serve us here on this earth. And it's going to provide us that home in heaven. Every promise is yours and mine if we need that promise and when we need that promise. And so Paul's talking about, look at again at verse 3 there, the latter part of verse 3. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with what? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That is past tense. That verb is past tense. It's already been done. So that means it's mine. It's yours. It's ours. Well, I want to look at three things here about spiritual blessings. Just a general statements about the spiritual blessings of those who are saved. Blessing number one that you can see in your outline there. You have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the blessing. That's the truth. That's the word of God. You have been blessed. You have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And a good word, this good word means that Jesus brought you back. He brought you back from the deformity of sin. And a lot of us think sometimes about our past sins and wish we hadn't done something. But God says, I've already done something about that. I sent my son, Jesus Christ, to the cross to take your sin. So if you're going to continue to dwell on that, you're not doing something that I want you to do. I've forgiven you for that. And that's a blessing to know that God forgave me of when I was a teenager. God forgave me for the first 33 years of my life. God forgave me for that. What a blessing that is. What was the price of doing that for you and for me? Every drop of the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Not some of it, but every drop of His blood on that cross. And He came onto that block there, if you will, when we should have been the ones put to death. And He said to the Father, I'll take their penalty. I'll take their sin upon me. I'll take your wrath that you were going to give to them. I'll take it upon me. Father, I redeem these people by coming to the cross in obedience to you. In other words, to pay the price that we might be looked at and seen as righteous today and to have all these blessings today. Jesus Christ, that we're going to begin celebrating next week. Some have already begun celebrating. We're going to celebrate at Christmas. Jesus put on skin, humbled himself to come to a stinky, smelly stable from the throne in heaven for you and for me. And why did he do that? Listen to me. So he could identify with us. Everything that you've gone through, ever will go through, he can identify. But it's even more importantly that we can identify with him. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in us. He says, I've done it. This is all yours. It's a blessing. You say a second thing about blessing number two. We have been forgiven for the penalty of our sin. You have been forgiven for the penalty of your sin. You may continue to remember it, but you have been forgiven for that. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, right? The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is what? The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The penalty should be death and hell. But God says, because I gave my son Jesus Christ, because he came to earth, because 33 years later he got on that cross in Jerusalem and spilled every drop of his blood and took my wrath and took your sin upon himself, I have redeemed you. You are now mine. You have been forgiven. You know, you could just think of it as you're thinking of your life when Christ got on that cross and he breathed his last breath and he looked at God and he said, God, it's finished. That he wrote across your life. He wrote across your life, forgiven. Forgiven. Debt paid by me on the cross. That's something that if God gives me another 10 years to preach and to study the Word of God, I'll never fully understand. But when God looks at me and looks at my past life and where I came from, as he looks at you, we have that word forgiven stamped upon us, as the Bible says, sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's who we are. That's one of the blessings of the many that God has rained down upon us. Third blessing. God's grace, God's unlimited grace. God's unlimited, it means it keeps coming, it just keeps pouring. However much grace you and I need as children of God, as he's our Father and we're his children. Unlimited grace treats you as if you have never sinned. Let that sink in. Yes, you're sinning now. Yes, I'm sinning now. Yes, I'm going to sin tomorrow. I'm not going to do something God wants me to do. I'm going to say some things that I shouldn't do. Or shouldn't say. But God says, you are forgiven. You're forgiven for that by my grace, unmerited favor, because my son paid the price. I'm looking at you as forgiven. And what does that mean? He treats us, listen to me, he treats us as if we've never sinned. Let that sink in. God, our Father, treats us as if we have never sinned. That's the reality of who we are today, because we are the children of God. And that's okay. God says, that's okay. He went there to the cross. He said, my grace makes them righteous in me. My grace makes you righteous. I'm Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, if you can catch a glimpse of this, I truly believe this with all my heart. We will never sing Amazing Grace again like we sang it before. We'll never sing it Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that raised a wretch. No, I don't think we'll sing it. I think if we catch what Christ has done and blessed us with, it'll be hard to sing that without tears coming down from our eyes because of this amazing grace that God wants to give right now to us. He wants to give it to those who have never received Jesus Christ. He wants to give that amazing grace right now. John MacArthur said this. He said the church is totally revolutionized when Christians begin to wake up and understand who they are in Jesus. I'm going to say that again. The church will be totally revolutionized when we wake up and understand who we are in Jesus Christ. Who we are by Him coming to earth to save us, to take the penalty for our sin, so that one day He can bring those who receive Him, who He created exactly as He wanted to create each one of us, to bring them home. And to look at us when, however we do that, however when we see Him for the first time, I can only imagine, I can't imagine. But I want to hear, as you want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Come into what? Come into your rest. Come into this home that I have prepared for you, my precious, precious child. That's who we are. We need to grasp it. I want you to look at verse 18 again here in the scripture, in our text. Paul says, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. Do you know what the hope is to which He has called you? Some of us are living in that hope, believing that we know the hope that He has called us to. He says, what are the riches? Circle that word riches. This is what we're talking about here. The riches of God's blessings that He's poured down upon us. Listen to this. What are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints? His glorious inheritance where? In us. In His saints. In His children. This is what Paul's saying. And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward those who believe according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ to raise Him from the dead? This is the power that I'm saying God has brought down upon us if we want to cash it in, if we want to use that power. Holy Spirit, fill me with Your power to preach this message. Holy Spirit, fill me with this power to do what You have called me to do. Holy Spirit, fill me with the power as a 9-year-old girl to put aside all fear and all insecurities and get into this water. And you know why she did that? Because she had the Holy Spirit in her, number one. Number two, because she had people that loved her. And number three, she had people that said, I love you so much, I'm going to come in that water with you. I'm not going to leave you up there by yourself. That's what Jesus does to all of us. If we just cash it in, if we use that gift that He has given to us. Well, let me give you some truths about our blessings here, real quickly here. Some truths about our blessings. Saints, that means you and I, who receive blessings are the faithful who are alive in Christ. I'm going to say that again. Saints who receive these blessings that Paul's talking about, that I'm talking about, are the faithful who are alive in Christ. There are Christians who are Christians, but they are not alive in Christ. They've got unused gift cards somewhere. They don't know where they are. Busyness, whatever. Pressure, time, illness, whatever. They just haven't had time to get to those gift cards. And you don't have to die to be a saint. Saint Ted, doesn't that sound good? Compared to what some of you have called me. I'm just joking. Saint Ted, Saint Carl, Saint Stephen. You know, as a born again child of God, we're saints. But you know, there's a major religion, the Catholic Church, says that if you can live 100 years or more than 100 years, you can become a saint. We can make you a saint if you've been dead for 100 years. There's only one problem with that. It's not scripture. It's not in the Bible. It says if you don't have Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you can't be prayed after you died on the way to hell. You cannot be prayed back salvation. So God says, this is the day. This is the day. Saints who receive the blessings are the faithful who are alive in Christ. Ask yourself, are you alive in Christ? Being honest with yourself, since God's living in you and God knows, are you alive in Jesus Christ? Second blessing, second truth about our blessings, our Father is the source of all blessings. Listen to me, that He has already willed to you. He's already willed them. They're in His will to you. Every blessing that you will ever need on this earth, it's available to you right now. Total blessing. Look at Romans chapter 8 for just a moment. Romans chapter 8, listen to what Paul said in verse 32. And he's talking here about God's everlasting love. Listen to what he told the church at Rome. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up. God gave his son up for who? Who does the Bible say? He gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously then give us all things? You ought to underline that. You ought to highlight that. You ought to put that in your heart. He gave up his son so that he could give us all things. It's one of the reasons he wrote the Word of God with the promises in here. Depending on who's counting, there could be 6,000 promises in here. I pray to God I don't ever have to use 6,000 promises. But I know there's enough in here that's going to take care of me, that God's going to use to take care of me when I need those promises. It may not be cashing. We may not be cashing in on these promises right now, but they're available. Friends, they're available. What is it that you need this morning from God to help you through this time? Time of pain, time of suffering. And I know some of you are thinking, well, yeah, but there's people that are in great pain, paralytics and these other things, and God doesn't heal them. Well, we don't know what God's doing. I know two people that are paralytics that have been, they can't say a word. One of them can preach and teach. She can have a podcast. She can do a radio program, television program. Been a paralegic since 13 years of age. Up there in Chesapeake Bay when she dove into that water, hit her head and broke her neck. Quadriplegic forever after. Till she goes home to be with the Lord. I know another one that can't eat, can't drink. The only thing she can move is her wrist. Can't talk, has never talked, has never walked. But that girl, that woman now, 45 years old, has a spirit that I wished I had. She has a spirit when you're in her presence, you know. And this is why I say God didn't make a mistake, and I don't understand that about either one of them. But God didn't make a mistake. But those who have less of the ability than we have are touching people's lives with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And those of us who are healthy, have been healthy for years. God never makes a mistake. And God says, I give you everything that you'll ever need. Look at, let me read here, verse 32 one more time. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not, that's a rhetorical question, will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Not one spiritual blessing, God says, will I withhold from you. Not one spiritual blessing that you need, if you cash it in, so to speak, it'll be yours. My prayer for you, my prayer for me is that we will open our eyes. That perhaps on the eve of this celebrating the coming of the Christ child, that we will open our eyes to the Word of God and that we will see and realize and then live out with our hands, feet, voice, heart, what God has created us to be. And then to understand how spiritually blessed He has blessed us with. How many of you would like to go and move and reside down in Palestine today? How many of you would like to go and live in Israel today? Or Haiti? Or Kenya? God didn't choose for us to do that. God chose to bless us for whatever His purpose, for whatever His reason is, to put us here in the greatest nation that He has ever created. And then He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, so that we would open our eyes and our hearts to what He has blessed us with. So that, didn't we sing, want to be a blessing? Want to be a blessing. I want to be a blessing. I want to be a blessing to you until the God takes me out of here, till God takes me home. I want to be that blessing. The third thing, truth about spiritual blessing. Spiritual blessings of forgiveness and grace and inner peace are your greatest and my greatest needs. I don't know if you can doubt me on that, but the spiritual blessing of forgiveness and God's unmerited grace, His free-flowing grace, and this inner peace. How many need inner peace today? Don't raise your hand. How many need that inner peace today? I would submit to you, out of all these blessings, that's our greatest need right now. We can go to God for the other blessings, but man, we need this right now. We need peace with everything going on in our lives, everything going on in the world. In verse 3, he says, we all have the physical and the financial and the emotional needs. We all have those needs. And God says, I'm your peace. That's what you need. I am your greatest need for this, for all those things that you're going through. Look at Mark real quickly here. Look at Mark. Almost out of time, but take a look at Mark chapter 2 for just a moment. You got to see this. Mark chapter 2. And let me read beginning in verse 1 of Mark chapter 2. And when he returned to Capernaum, this is a familiar story, you know this. When he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw what? When Jesus saw their faith, so important here, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. He didn't reach out and touch him. He said, son, your faith. He's in the house teaching. They can't get in, the paralytic, and so they let him down. He saw his greatest need wasn't to walk. His greatest need was Him, to receive Him as His Lord and Savior. But He saw his heart and He said, you're forgiven. Maybe He said, my child, you're forgiven. One more passage of Scripture here, Psalm 139. Listen to this, Psalm 139, verse 17. And the writer of Psalm, David says, how precious, don't miss this. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. What? The sum of what? The sum of God's thoughts towards you and to me. Verse 18, if I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. The blessings, the blessings of his thoughts on you every single day is more than we can comprehend, than any human can comprehend. God's thinking about you at this very moment. He's thinking about you because he knows what you're going to experience tomorrow. He knows what you're experiencing now. God is constantly thinking to you. And all the sand and the seashores and all the water can't describe his thoughts that are pouring down upon you. The fourth truth about spiritual blessing is the sphere of blessing takes place in the heavenly places. The sphere of blessing takes place in the heavenly places where, as a Christian, you and I are now seated. Now, let that roll around in your head. That's what the Word of God says. Right now, we are seated with Christ. Not when we die, we are seated with Christ at this very moment. The Bible says that Christ is right now sitting at the right hand of God. The Bible also says that Christ is here with us in this sanctuary because his people have come together to worship him. The Bible also says he's here in this sanctuary because he's living in our heart. Christ in us, we in him. In Christ. Paul uses that word in Christ 140 times. At least according to my version, English Standard Version. He uses in Christ 140 some times to describe that. What is it that he's given us? He's given us the security, the blessing of security. Our blessing is not in heaven. Don't miss this. Our blessing is not in heaven. Our blessing is in Jesus Christ. It's in Christ. It's not in heaven. Look at our text one more time. Listen to what he says in chapter 2, verse 6. Paul says a little bit later to the church of Ephesus, and raised us up with him and seated us with him, where? In the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where we are. That's where we are right now. And it's not something, again, that's going to happen when we die. That's our life. That's where we are right now. And so our needs can be met right now. Today is the day, not only of salvation, today is the day to recommit. Today is the day to do things according to the Word of God, to do it right. And when God, in heaven, God is operating up there. And that's where we are. We're up there with him. That's where the angels, and don't miss this, the demons operate right now in this earth. So we need this power. We need these promises. We need these assurances. Remember the story, you've heard it many times. I'll give you the brief version of it. A man and his family were in their house and a tremendous fire broke out that night in the house. And the man was able to get out, but his wife and children died. They couldn't get him out. They all died in that house fire. And we have Christians today that say, all I want to do is get into heaven. Some say, if I get into heaven by the skin of my teeth, I'll be okay. But that man that got out of there, without his children, without his family, think of what he lost. Think of what a Christian will lose if you don't cash, if you don't use that gift card, the Word of God that he has given to us. Whew, I made it to heaven. Whew, I got out of this burning house. But yeah, what did it cost you? What did it cost Jesus Christ to take you out of that burning house and assure you that you will spend eternity with him in heaven rather than the place where there will be a fire that never goes out, whatever the form of that fire is. My security is in Jesus Christ. It took me a long time to do that, but my security is in Jesus Christ. Their security is in Jesus Christ. Where's your security this morning? What do you got in your wallet? What do you got in your heart? What do you got in your soul? what he got in your life. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, our Heavenly Father God, I pray you have given us unconditional love, unconditional promises. You have stamped us as your child, children of God, heirs. You've given us a will. It's all ours. And God, I pray that for someone here this morning, somebody listening online that has never received Jesus Christ, or that right now at this moment they would just simply cry out to you, whatever form that takes, and say, Jesus, save me. Save me right now from the life I'm living. From this concern, this worry, this grief, this pain, this suffering, this addiction, whatever it may be, God, save me. And Lord, help me as this little girl was helped this morning by people that love her. Help me to be ministered to become like you want me to be. And I just want to thank you, Lord, by faith. I just want to thank you and say thank you for saving me at this very moment. And Father, there may be someone here today that's hurting. And they just want to cry out to you, God. Lord, ease my pain, physical, emotional, anger, whatever it may be, God. Help me. Father, for someone here today, is looking for a church home. Then our arms at Pine Drive are open. I believe it with all my heart. Our love fills this sanctuary because you fill your people here with love, the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, whatever it is. Lord, is this the day that you would have someone recommit to surrender, to be saved? I pray that it is, Lord. I pray that Satan does not keep them from having that courage to say, after all these years, I trust Jesus Christ and I'm not ashamed of him. Father, this is your invitation, not mine. The Holy Spirit is praying as he sees the hearts that are convicted. You are sitting by the Father, receiving the prayers of the Holy Spirit, receiving our prayers. God, what more could we ask or want? What more could you do to give us eternal life in your Son, Jesus Christ? And so we stand and we sing and we pray with thankful hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand as our praise team leads us in our invitation this morning? And if you have a response to God, then make it today. After all, today's all we know that we have.